I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 189 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Hope you're all doing well out there. And what a week we've had. Like a game of real-life chess, we've lost two pawns and a queen, but we've gained a king. I reckon the Tories were behind the whole lot of it just as a diversion for the cost of living crisis. But that aside, let's talk about art. From Friday the 23rd through to Sunday the 25th of September, we're going to be promoting the Ministry of Arts podcast at the New Artist Fair, which is at Truman Brewery on Brick Lane. We'll be alongside dozens and dozens of other artists, be it painters, sculptors, printers, photographers, absolutely everything. So if you're in the area, pop down and say hi. But back to today. I'm taking you to meet Brighton-based artist Sarah Pope. If you don't know Sarah, but you've seen an artwork, be it a painting, print, or even a neon, of a close-up pair of lips, then that's very probably Sarah Pope. But I must interrupt myself here. Her artworks are far from just a pair of lips. I first met Sarah several years ago at the Art Car Boot Fair when it was in Folkestone, and that was thanks to my good buddy and friend of the podcast, Michelle Mildenhall. We'd been meaning to record this episode for several months and finally got round to it just a few weeks ago. In this episode, we speak how Sarah left the fashion world to enter the world of art, how one of her artworks is hanging in home of one of her namesakes, and how when I invited Sarah onto my Face Value 3 exhibition, I lined her up with a blind collaboration with a member of possibly the biggest rock band in the world. But anyway, find all that out for yourself now as you come and join me over Zoom with Sarah Pope.
I just get nervous speaking, you know. That's not my forte, I would say, which is maybe why I paint and do visual things.
How is it down there today? You're still in
Brighton. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. I've just been outside to get a coffee, and it is actually hot.
Nice. Like,
it's so beautifully sunny. Are you in London?
Just on the outskirts, Essex, East London border in Romford.
How is it there? Is it lovely weather?
It's grey, but you can see the sun's fighting to get through.
Oh, it's all in Brighton.
Oh, brilliant.
We've got a concentration of it.
How long have you been down there?
About 6 years, 6 or 7 years now. Yeah. It's quite a sort of rash move. I was looking to buy a flat in London, and it was just so stressful, at the time, whatever was happening with the property market. And I just had this idea to come to Brighton for the day. And I decided I bought a flat. So it's all, I didn't really know anyone here, but it's, I don't know, I find Brighton to be really beautiful. I love the Regency architecture, yeah. And I've always loved living by the sea. I've lived in Barcelona and also Alicante, and I just, you know, I love the sea, so it kind of seemed perfect.
Good.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, they do say that Brighton is London by the sea, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, some weekends, half of London does come to Brighton. So it definitely feels like that. Yeah.
Well, I have 7 questions, Sarah, that I ask each artist on this podcast.
Mm.
And the first being, how would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
So the subject I tend to focus on mainly is the mouth. I paint, and my paintings are oil paintings, and they tend to be really intense colours. I use a lot of reds. They're also very glossy and expressive, and I think they're quite kind of generally quite playful, and I think quite joyful.
And it is just the lips you concentrate on, isn't it?
Yeah, just isolated mouth.
And where did the idea for that come from? Or how did you get to that point even?
Yeah. So when I first started experimenting with creating art, I'm a self-taught artist, by the way. I was kind of immediately only drawn to the face. And I think I was fascinated by everything that's kind of communicated via your face, you know, your character, your personality, also, you know, expressions of mood and emotion. And I was just really sort of fascinated and compelled to sort of try and decipher that and to see if I could capture it and express it in art and, you know, in my paintings. And I remember one of the first things I did, I loved the work of the photographer Ari Seth Cohen. He used to go around New York photographing elderly ladies and gentlemen who were fabulously and eccentrically dressed. Excellent. With like colourful makeup and clothes and jewellery. And I mean, you know, I don't know if you know, but I also have a background in fashion and and makeup. And, you know, I've always loved that. So, but not only that, they had such character in their faces that I, you know, I set myself this kind of challenge to see if I could capture that and, you know, make some paintings and do an expression of that. So I sort of did that, and then I experimented more with portraiture. But like at one point I decided to just isolate the mouth because I found that to be really expressive.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you don't really know why you do something. It's kind of in your subconscious, in your conscious yet. But sort of on reflection, I mean, it's kind of a really compelling subject. You know, the mouth can be beautiful and sensual and emotionally evocative, and it's also it's like central to like human life. You know, we breathe through our mouth, we consume food, communication, whether like with words or expressions, and also kissing. So that kind of led me to kind of get, you know, more involved in exploring it. And also I think it allowed me also to explore all my experience working in fashion and magazines, and my love of that, and my love of, you know, self-decoration and makeup and that kind of thing.
Well, you were saying there about the different moods you can pick up on just by looking at the mouth. And it is only a fraction of a millimetre between a smile and a frown.
Absolutely. We've got so many muscles in our mouth area. And, you know, having sort of studied, you know, because in my work, I work with models. And so we do a photo shoot. And, you know, the kind of different expressions that people can make with their sort of mouth area is amazing.
I was aware that you used models.
Yeah.
Could you go into the process that you have when you have a model in front of you?
Yeah. So First of all, it can either be a model that I've chosen from a model agency, or I often get approached to do like personal lip portraits. I recently did the Princess of Liechtenstein.
Oh, as you do.
As you do. So basically, whoever the model is, I organise a photo shoot, and then I do everything. I begin by painting the person's lips, so that's kind of like the beginning of the painting process, I suppose. I sometimes use lipstick that I've created. Luckily, I have there's a place here in Brighton called the Lip Lab, and you can make lipstick, so I can make my own colours.
Excellent.
And then I use.
Is there? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sure.
Have you made an actual Sarah Pope? Is there a colour?
I did Brilliant. a limited edition.
And was it called Sarah Pope?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And it was
of course.
So once the model has makeup on, then basically it's just me and the model, me behind the camera and the model in front, and it's just a kind of interaction between me and that person. And I obviously taking like lots and lots of shots while this is happening. But yeah, it's kind of like a communication, I suppose, between me and the model.
Brilliant. I knew of your work, and then I heard that you'd done this, and I was surprised the complexity of procedure going into creating one of your artworks.
Yeah, because that's just the beginning then. So then I've got loads and loads of photos, get those home, and I sort of choose a few similar-ish expressions, and that becomes like the starting point for the painting. Just that's like a sort of a loose inspiration. And then as I paint, I use oil paint, and I paint in layers, kind of building up the layers, like really smoothing the paint at each stage, so that like when it gets to the end point, like even though it started off with like a real person, a real mouth, so it's based in reality, once it gets to the final stage, it's almost kind of like quite surreal. It's like a sort of mixture of fact and fiction.
I suppose by the end of it, or even like three quarters of the way through, you've forgotten that it is someone's lips and mouth.
Yeah, completely.
I can imagine.
Absolutely. It's gone and through the filter of my brain.
Yeah. I did read about your painting method, and it said at the end, which did make me smile, that it ends up glossy, perfect and irresistible.
Hopefully.
I love the word irresistible being used to talk about an artwork. It really put a smile on my face. Have you photographed any of your models as they're talking and picking up on the words?
Yeah, sometimes. Just to catch the person in, different, between expressions of something, vocalising a word or whatever. Yeah.
And it's surprising how memorable the lips are, because there's one of yours, and I don't know whether it is or not, but whenever I see it, I think Madonna because of the gap in the front.
Oh, yeah. I love a gap tooth.
Do you know the one I'm on about? And I presume it isn't Madonna.
Yeah, no, it's not Madonna. I think I've done a few with a gap tooth. Like sometimes I quite like, using models who have that. So, I haven't photographed Madonna yet.
When was your first interest in art?
From when I was a kid, I was always doodling and sketching, but I had at that point also a massive interest in fashion and clothes and beauty. So I was always like designing and like, making my own clothes and ripping things up and sewing them back together. And I think I'd say that I've always sketched, but like until one point I just didn't really take myself seriously. I didn't really, school wasn't great for art. I didn't really receive a good education there. It was totally dry and uninspiring. It was kind of like, do this pencil drawing of a bicycle wheel kind of level. And, I didn't, my parents don't really have any art background, so I didn't really get any sort of art inspiration at home. I don't know. I remember at one point I started working with a fashion designer, and he was his like hero was Francis Bacon, and that kind of got me really interested in that. And I sort of fell in love with the way that he can basically just put violent emotions onto canvas and translate them. It was just like mind blowing. So I think that began my real interest in art. And then I didn't start properly painting until some time later, when I just felt that I couldn't not paint anymore.
Excellent. You now reside in Brighton. Where was home growing up?
Sort of Stoke-on-Trent area.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, Midlands. So you wouldn't know, would you?
No. No, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised.
Although if I tell you last weekend I went to Bath, you might know.
So you was in the fashion industry. You was shoe designing, if I remember correctly. When was the crossover from fashion to art?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And I presume at one point you was doing both. There was a crossover, and then for whatever reason you drifted further into one half.
Yeah. So like I'd been working as a shoe designer for several years, and I'd just finished a particular job, and I just wasn't feeling it anymore. I was feeling like, I don't know, that it was kind of that, like, even though I loved it, it was kind of a bit meaningless. And I just felt compelled to start painting. And it meant that, like, I knew that I couldn't get another full-time job shoe designing, and I had to somehow, you know, find some freelance work or part-time work, because I just had to do this thing. And I knew that I couldn't, or I didn't want to rely on this art that I was trying to make to pay for my life, because I felt like that would take something important away. So I was very, for a long time I still worked like 3 days a week to pay the bills and, you know, make sure that it was okay, and then I could just do what I wanted with art.
Excellent. I presume that when you're speaking to someone, you're properly focused on their lips.
So I think when I first meet someone for the first time, it's like, it's quite overwhelming. Like, it's a whole energy thing. So it's not like focusing on one thing, but then I guess, you know, once you sort of relax, when you're speaking to someone, you're looking at their mouth. It's a focus.
Yeah.
I mean, your eyes, obviously, and the person's mouth. Yeah.
How often, if at all, do you paint men's lips?
I do paint men's lips. I probably use more female models than male models, but I've definitely used quite a few male models. I started because I was interested to see if, like, there was any difference between male and female mouths, and pretty much not, except you know, on your top lip, on the bottom of your top lip, the middle bit, like there, seems to be more pronounced.
Oh, does it? Wow.
Not all, but no. Like, it, more than you would find in women. That was the only thing.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, with my in my paintings, would you be able to say? No, probably.
No, of course not. Do you do them without the lip gloss? I know that takes away somewhat, but a naked lip, if you like.
I mean, probably every time I do a shoot, I do kind of like naked lip as well as all the ones with makeup, but I always put gloss. And with the male models, the same, lots of lipsticks and also naked with just gloss. Because I also, I'm interested in the light reflections.
Yeah, of course.
So that's kind of what gives my paintings that really glossy kind of feeling. And I sort of create that, you know, using gloss and, you know, particular lighting. And I really study what happens to the light when it, like, bouncing off a surface.
Excellent. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Which piece that you've created has got the strongest emotional connection, do you think?
One of the first lips painting I did, called Lips 2, the clue is the name. I feel like...
How far away from the first painting was this Lips 2 speak of?
Very close. I feel like that's the painting that kind of took my art out of my kitchen and into the world.
Yeah.
When I was just still experimenting in my kitchen, I met an artist near where I was living, and we decided to put on a DIY exhibition together. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, showed some of my first lip paintings, and that was the first one that got sold. And it was just kind of like, someone's willing to pay money. And the idea that people might actually sort of connect with my work. But not only that, it was kind of, Lips 2 is the kind of reason where I began to work with Jealous Gallery, who I've worked with for many years now, and, you know, have really supported me in my kind of art things, because Dario saw that image and he asked me if I was up for, like, publishing a big screen print edition using that piece of work. So I feels kind of quite dear.
So you pretty much in your mind went from a hobby artist to a professional artist within a matter of days.
Yeah, kind of, I suppose. Nice. I mean, I didn't really see it as a hobby as such. It was more like just a compulsion, like something that I've got to do. And I didn't really think beyond that. I didn't think, oh, this is nice, you know, or I'm going to make this my career. I didn't think either of those things. So it was just... it was just kind of surprising, because obviously all my friends have been, it's great, you know, my ex-husband, yeah, it's great. But you sort of don't really believe the people that you know, do you?
No. And having Dario at Jealous contact you and ask you to do a print run with him, that's not a bad place to start either, is it?
I know, it's pretty brilliant. Yeah,
that is pretty cool. Well, speaking of Jealous.
Yeah.
You was in my Face Value 3 exhibition at,
yeah,
I think it was at, was Jealous. It 2018?
Okay, yeah.
Was in March. Face Value 4 was going to happen 2019, but unfortunately we was interrupted by a pandemic. So you collaborated with Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones in that exhibition, which was
That was pretty cool. Amazing, very cool. Yeah, I was really, because I was the painter number one, and then I handed it over to him. So I was really fascinated to see what he would do with it.
And I can't remember, but for anyone that's listening, the lips painting that you donated had like little spikes around the edge of the lips.
Yeah,
it was light pink in colour. Light pink spikes, sort of ones that you might find on a Dr. Martin boot or a leather jacket, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I took it down to Ronnie Wood.
Yeah. And, what did he say when he saw it? I'm interested.
Well, there was two that I took down to him, because the first one had clear bubble wrap on it, and as I took that off, he went, right, and he sort of knew what he was going to do. And then when I undone yours, which you couldn't quite see from the start, and then I pulled it out and he went, which put a big smile on my face. And I'm not sure he knew what to do with it, but I knew that he liked what he saw. And what he did put on was bars and hands on the bars, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What do you do to relax?
I love the sea. and I live like 5 minutes from the sea now. So I love going in the sea when it's like not so totally freezing as it has been.
Well, you were just saying about how it's a lovely warm day today in Brighton.
It is. So. I'm just thinking maybe it's time. Maybe
today's the day. Just go down and dip your toe.
I should go for it.
Or your elbow even.
And I love film. I can get completely lost and transported in a film, and there's like there's a picture house really near to my house, you know, those lovely old cinemas, yeah, nice, massive like nice, squashy velvet seats, super cozy. So I go there quite often. I quite like things that take me out of my head, basically.
Oh, that's not like a bad thing at all, stepping out of your sticking out of your world for a little while.
Switch off the old, like, you know, internal voices sometimes.
Exactly. I saw that you was the first female artist to be have a work taken in by the Vatican.
Yeah, yeah. How random is that?
Wow. Yeah. And what artwork was that? Please tell me it was lips too.
Yeah, I did a portrait of Pope's lips. It was a portrait of him. I was doing an exhibition nearby.
Oh, I've seen this. Sorry to butt in. I've seen this, but I didn't know. I've seen you next to it. I didn't realise that it was yours because it wasn't lips. But yeah, I've seen it. Sorry. Yeah, please carry on.
So I was doing this exhibition and nearby to the Vatican, and I don't know, I hadn't done a portrait in a while, and I thought, oh, who's an important figure in this country? So I decided to paint the Pope, and then someone I was working with at the time contacted the Vatican and said, you know, this portrait has been done, and they loved it, so they invited me to go and hand over, I'd said, you can have it. I got invited to the Vatican and they accepted it into the collection.
Oh, please tell me the Pope opened the door and said, come in, like me and Roddy.
Unfortunately, he was away on business. So I met with his personal translator.
Oh, so it wasn't the case of, hello, Sarah, come in.
All right. Yeah. Hello, Ms. Pope.
fucking hell. Oh, I didn't. Sorry, that went straight over my head. How I didn't think of Ms. Pope, I don't know. Oh, my gosh. That was staring me in the face. Yes, Sarah, if there was you and five other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
I love the portraits of Elizabeth Payton.
Okay.
Yayoi Kusama is welcome, as long as she brings one of her mirrory pieces. Jeff Koons for something really shiny. Yeah. Possibly Francis Bacon and Guy Baudin, the photographer. Oh, I love a photographer.
Do you still work or follow fashion, as in the production of fashion?
So in a kind of loose way, I, follow certain accounts on Instagram. I'm still interested and I still like to see, how self-decoration, whether that's makeup or clothing or, that still does kind of interest me. Yeah.
And does fashion photography interest you at all still?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the creation of a beautiful image is a really inspiring thing.
Oh, definitely.
So always interested in that.
And I mean, I have loads of little questions jumping in my head as I'm speaking to you. That's why it's dancing around from one subject to another. Have you done any self-portraits yet?
Do you know what? No. And I don't really know why, because I know that's a really like normal thing for artists to do, especially if they're dealing with figurative and, portraits. But I never have.
I mean, the thing is,
psychological reason.
Yeah, but the thing is if you didn't title it as yours, no one's going to know, are they?
No, that's really true. But maybe, I don't know if my artworks are more because they're like an interaction, they're like a communication between me and someone else. Like, maybe I just, I don't know, maybe it would be interesting to try to sort of have that with myself.
Well, I think a psychologist would tell you the best communication a person can have is that's, with themselves.
That's very true. I think that's where I've always had to, that's always been my downfall.
You need to look at yourself suppressing in things. The mirror. Yes, exactly. And if you wasn't an artist, Sarah, what would you like to be?
I think a musician. I think there's something really, really special about what happens, you know, what goes between a musician and live music and the audience. It's like, it's energy. It's actual, you know, vibrational instant. Energy, and it's instant, and it's like, boof, emotion. And I think it's so powerful. It would probably be that. I always feel upset that I never learned instruments.
But there's, you know, you're not near, you know, near the end of your life.
That's true.
Whenever I see a musician coming out on stage at Wembley or wherever, and you're seeing them tens of thousands of people.
Imagine that. I mean, it's people singing your songs back to you, like 10,000 of people singing your songs back. Amazing.
I mean, it's electric enough being in the crowd.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being the focus of that crowd?
I bet they can't sleep after.
I could imagine. And I can imagine it being quite addictive as well.
Yeah.
Have you got anything coming up?
I'm doing something at the weekend with Intergallery here in Brighton. It's been the Brighton Festival for the past month. So we're doing something as part of that on Sunday, the 5th. And what else? I've got to get into the studio actually and do some work. I've got several commissions to do. I'll just be focusing on that. For a while. I'm doing a piece that I'm putting into an exhibition with Bonhams later this year.
Nice.
It's going to be like full-on crystals, the whole
Ooh.
Thing.
Ooh, he says.
I'm a crystal addict.
I have seen a few of yours, red crystals.
I've done a crystal piece before, and the way that I do it is that I actually paint the painting, and then I replicate the colours of the painting, a graduation. So I think the piece will be red, but there'll be like a whole graduation of different shades and tones, and you know, of the crystals.
Just notching it up, making it a little bit glam. I like that.
Yeah, bling. I just love everything light reflective. It's
good.
Yeah, whether it's glass or diamond dust or crystals.
Have you poured resin over them?
I have, but it's so temperamental. You know the way that sometimes resin just for no reason whatsoever, it just doesn't set.
No.
And it's like,
it is as if it's got a mind of its own. Yeah.
Piece of work. So I'm kind of a bit hesitant to use it like these days. And also I kind of worry about like it sort of yellowing a little bit over time. So yeah, I'd rather just paint the glass. And like a lot of people say to me, oh, is it like covered in like glass? And it's not, it's just the way that I paint to make it look like that.
Yeah. I mean, you're saying about ruining a piece of artwork if the resin doesn't work.
Hmm.
When I was talking to Orlando Broom on one of them.
Yeah, I love her work.
She was talking about these massive paintings that she'd done for the Four Seasons Hotel.
Yeah. And
they were that big, she had to do the top half on a ladder, you know.
Ooh.
And they were being poured with resin.
Right.
And I was thinking then, like, you know, she'd spent weeks on these paintings.
Yeah.
And it could go just because of a temperamental bit of resin, you know.
Yeah. Was she quite confident with the resin then?
Yeah. I mean, she'd used it often. So, she was fine. But she was saying about how in this sort of large studio come warehouse that she was creating them in, she had to rig up a sort of tent to put these large paintings in to keep the heat in while she was trying to sort of poured a resin, you know, to keep it
warm. Yeah, because if there's any moisture in the air or it's below the right temperature, yeah. it just never sets.
No.
It's like a nightmare.
Yeah, quite a gamble, right?
Yeah, totally.
And where can anyone find your work, be it website or social media?
So my website is sarahpopeart.com. Sarah doesn't have a H. And my Instagram is sarahpopeartist. And yeah, several galleries around the UK and the world.
Excellent. Well, that's all my questions are, Sarah.
Oh, right. Amazing.
So thank you for your time.
Oh, I'd love to talk.
See you later, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Well, hope you enjoyed that episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. So we wasn't dictated to by advertisers, we decided from the offset to go ad-free, which means obviously we had to self-fund. So we set up the Ministry of Arts Patreon page. And without that support, we would not be able to produce this podcast. So if you like what you hear and you're able to support the podcast, just go over to the Ministry of Arts Instagram profile. You'll find a Linktree drop-down box, which will direct you straight to our Patreon page. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can help keep us growing week by week. But if you're not able to do that, that's fine, because this content is free for everyone. But leaving a review on whichever platform you listen to your podcast, that really does help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. Or even giving us a positive shout out on your social media. Everything is appreciated. But either way, thanks for listening. And until next week, ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about it.
Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.